You got your Bibles, you can turn over to the book of Revelation with me and I'll just talk with you a little bit. I don't know just what we'll say to you, but maybe we'll say something that will help you tonight. I want to say again, I appreciate my visitors coming. I always appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. And I want you to pray for them. Pray that God will strengthen them and help them. When we have visitors coming down, wherever it's from, I want you to treat them well. If they need a place to stay, I want you to share. You should share. And I want you to share. And folks, if you don't share, God will see to it that you don't have anything to share. But if you do share, God will take care of you. I appreciate Little John sending, I believe it was Little John, sending $40 more up here to help in the cause for Brother Blake. I appreciate that. All right. The book of Revelation, this is a great, great book. A great book. Let's start at the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And let's read just a little bit. There's just so many multiplied things on my heart that I'd like to express. A lot of times in the morning is the best time to do it, Sunday morning, because you're fresh and alert. Sometimes on Sunday night you've kind of weathered the day and it makes you a little tired. But I feel a good spirit. It's been a long time since I've felt any of my people to any extent warring in the sanctuary. They seem to have such a wonderful attitude. You go on for weeks and months, and then once in a while, something will happen and you'll convert over, and I'll feel bad spirits out of just numbers of you and just interfere with the service maybe for 2 or 3 days or a week. And then after a while, you start fasting and praying, seeking God, and everything clears away. And I don't have to preach hard at you, you know. When you get like that, I really have to pop the whip and turn over the money tables. But, when you like you are now, I might raise my voice at you. But as a rule, we're just able to enter into a little discussion and get something out of it for the Lord. I'm still troubled. I'll have to be honest with you. I'm still troubled about some of you. You're my children and God, you're my people. And I'm still troubled about some of you. When you have a little fella or you have a child and that child is sick, you are troubled about them. Especially if they are a sickly child. And some of you here, you still got some problems. And I wish you'd listen at me a little more. Because I know in my heart, and I'm telling you the truth, that down the road, just a ways, you're going to meet some bad circumstance. And some things that's going to happen is going to tear your heart to pieces. But there's nothing I can do about it unless you'll listen at me. And unless you'll reason with me and do the things I tell you. And of course, after it happens, you'd give 10 million worlds then if you had to listen. But it's too late then. So I ask you to try to listen. Try to work with us. Because, for one thing, if Brother Branham is right about this year, we don't have too much to worry about anyway. It's over. And you that haven't done anything for God, it don't look like that you've got a chance anyway. If he's right about this year, if you started in and got a running start right now, you wouldn't hardly get nothing done between now and the time they blowed this place off of the map. If he's right about it. So there wouldn't be much to worry about there. But just in the event that he should spare it a little longer, it might be a good idea to get a running start. And you ladies that never has repented and really got down to business, honoring and obeying your husband and loving him, it'd be good if you did. You husbands that hadn't lined up with your wife and really got straight, you know, and still want to beat on her and knock her around and slap her around and treat her like an old dog and talking to her and different things, it might be good if you'd straighten up a little bit. And you children that are old enough to know better than to do the things you're doing, if you'd kind of snap to attention and start honoring mommy and daddy, it would be well, because it's real late and we're way down the road. So then, I tell you that as one that loves you. And I believe you know that I love you, or I wouldn't try to do the things I do for you. But let's read just a little bit in the book of Revelation, beginning in the fourth chapter, that is. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there was 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou art created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the back side sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns, and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. All right? We might resort to the board just a little bit here in our talk with you. But I want you to especially notice something. John, in his writing, there's one thing that he pointed out here, and that is that when he saw the door open in heaven, as the voice spoke to John, the voice said to John, "Come up hither. Come up hither." Now, a lot of times we wonder why God doesn't do anything for us. But the reason is because we can't get up hither. That's the trouble. We can't get up into the presence of God the way that we need to. The reason for that is we don't have the fellowship and the communication with God that we need to have. We don't give ourselves to God the way that we give ourselves to the natural things of the world. You know, a man will get up in the morning, go to work, he will be on the job perhaps at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he will work fervently all day long to accomplish his task in the natural and do everything within his power to assure himself of that income at the end of the week. Isn't that right? But when it comes to God, we just take something like a hit and a miss. We may pray 15 minutes today and we may not pray today at all. We may fast sometimes this month, maybe a meal or two, and we might not fast at all. Are you following me? We might take time to visit the widows and the orphans. We might take time to go down to have a jail service one time out of 3 months, and we might not. We might take time to pass out a tract or to stop by the wayside and say something to somebody about Jesus. We might, but we might not. We might decide just to pass it on by. Now then, we may take a notion that we're going to go to church two or three times in succession out of a month, and then we might not. Are you following me? Perhaps we might decide that we're going to give a little bit in the offering, and then again, we might not. So then, being, as we would say, so sporadic in what we do for God, I can assure you that we are never going to accomplish our purpose in Christ. We are never going to be able to do what God has commanded us to do until we take this thing with seriousness and get down to business with God. It's going to take living a daily sacrificial life to God to be able to get the job done. That's why the terms are used, give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we do that, we still haven't done anything outstanding. If I take all of my income and I daily lay it on the altar for God, I haven't done anything. If I dedicate my life every day, every hour, every minute to God, I still haven't really done anything but a reasonable service. God narrows it down in such a way until he tells us to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. There should never be one thought that we have that's not in subjection to Christ. God is a jealous God, and he demands every thought that we think to come into subjection and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, when we get to where we are like David of old, and we pray, God forgive us for the thoughts and the intents of our heart, and we begin to realize, as the scripture has stated, that we must keep our minds stayed on Christ Jesus, then we'll begin to reap a benefit from God. The Bible tells us that we are to meditate in the laws of God day and night. Isn't that right? And that we are to pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this world or on this earth. So then, it is obvious why that the church has not come
to the place of perfection that God has ordained that it should come to. We love to believe that we're still the early church. We love to believe that we're serving God the way the early church served God. But folks, when we get right down to the truth of it, and we make a comparison, we find that we find so short of what they did in the early church. The Bible tells us that in the early church, they would come together and they would stay together for days and pray and fast and seek God. And they would stay there. Not till somebody got to jumping and a hollering and somebody jumped up and said, "Yea, thus saith the Lord." But they stayed there till God filled them with the Spirit and the Spirit Himself began to speak. And when God Himself would begin to anoint somebody and begin to pick that body up under His power and begin to speak, just like when He picked Ezekiel up and took him through the air. He didn't have to have Ezekiel go hopping and a jumping. The Spirit of God itself picked him up and took him, transported him through the air to the valley of dry bones. If the Spirit of God could do that in that day, the Spirit of God can do the same thing in our day. And what God expects us to do is to get down to business with Him. So then we like to believe that we are the early church and that we're doing the same thing that the early church is doing, but it is a true fact that we're falling short of our mark. When we get to the place to where this thing gets a hold of us like the early church, that is, we wake up in the morning with God on our mind, and the only thing we've got on our mind is, "I must do something for Jesus. I must do something for Jesus." Instead of waking up in the morning, start looking for the breakfast table, you know, and say, "I wonder what I got to eat, and I wonder where I can go today, and I wonder if I got enough gas to make a trip over to Sister Sue." Come on, folks. Somebody say amen or shut up. All right. So then when the ladies begin to get down to business with God, begin to obey their husbands and honor and reverence their husbands like they're supposed to, and the husband gets down to business and begins to pray and talk to God like he's supposed to, and then the children, they'll automatically come under subjection, and God will begin to do something for us. When we begin to come to the house of God and have a little reverence for God, coming into the house of God with thanksgiving, with a praise, and with honor, and stop using it like it's Grand Central Station to go and to come all the time, and to shift around like so many of you do. When we begin to do that, then God will begin to take notice to us. Amen. When we begin to reverence God and honor God and begin to understand what God wants us to do and begin to make a sacrifice for God and begin to realize when we get up in the morning that our attitudes should be toward God to do something for God. That when we lay down at night, our thoughts should be, "Lord, you may come before the morning, let my heart be right with God." The Bible tells us not to even let the sun go down on our wrath. We should never be upset of our brother. Even as the sun goes down, we should clear the thing away. Never lay down on our pillow at night until we made everything right with God and with our brother. I'm talking about living for God. I'm talking about doing something for God. God said, "John, if you'll come up hither, I'll show you a few things. And I'll tell you what, if we'll get out of the old carnal mind, the old carnal way of life, and the old carnal way of doing things, and get up just a little bit higher in the Spirit, then God will do something for us." There's another thing that's outstanding here, if you'll notice. John said here in his writings, he records it, he said that, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." That's another thing that we need to get used to, is coming to the house of God and being in the Spirit. We need to be in the Spirit. Why is it we don't have the prophecies that we ought to have in the church? It's because people are not in the Spirit. Why is it we don't have the healings and deliverances that we ought to have in the church? It's because people are not in the Spirit. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, you can't just stay in the Spirit." Yes, you can. The Bible said to walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We should live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We should stay in the Spirit all the time. Somebody would say, "How do you mean stay in the Spirit? Stay in the mind of God? How do you know that the thoughts of God is Spirit? How do you know that the thoughts of God is the Word of God and the Word of God is Spirit and life? And when we walk in the thoughts of God, we're walking in the Spirit. So then we can walk in the Spirit, we can think in the Spirit, we can act in the Spirit. And when we get to where we are a spiritual person, Paul said, I would speak unto your spirituals. And he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. When we get to where we can walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, come to church in the Spirit, then God will do something for us that are spiritual. Is that right? How can we, as a bunch of carnal-minded people, expect God to do spiritual things for us? How can we, folks? How can you expect God to do something spiritual for you when your mind is on the carnal things of the world? How many of you understand that the carnal mind is enmity to God? How do you understand when you're always wanting an automobile or to go look at automobiles or always wanting to eat or to build a house or to plant a vineyard? How many of you know that's carnal? There's nothing wrong with doing that. If you say, you go out there and say, well, praise God, I'm going to plant me a vineyard. I'm going to plant me a vineyard. I'm going to plant me a vineyard so that I can raise something. I know some widows and some orphans that I'm going to be able to do something for. And the Bible tells me to labor that I might have to give. And I'm going to labor that I'll have something to do something for God with. You know, instead of saying, I'm going to plant me a vineyard. Bless God, I'm going to plant me a vineyard. Because they tell me hard times is coming. I ain't going to be caught in that winter no more. I'm going to get me something in the freezer. I'm going to be smart this year. I tell you what, you're better off if you leave the vineyard alone. Amen. There's better things to do than for you to plant a vineyard. And when you take a job and you work on that job and you say, I'm going to work for Christ. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to work on a Monday morning. I'm not going to be slothful and lay around in the bed. But I'm going to get up and make this old carcass of mine. Get out there and do something for God that I might labor to give something to God. Brother, when you do that, God will bless you. That's being spiritual. Did you know that? That's being spiritual. But when you get up on Monday morning and say, oh my, here it is again. I got to get out there. And the wife is saying, you better hurry. You're going to miss your ride. Oh, you don't care whether you've got a job or not. Come on now. You never heard nothing like that, have you? Amen. It takes a lazy man for the wife to help along a little bit, you know. You get up and say, well, I'm tired of this job anyway. I just pay bills, pay bills, pay bills. I don't ever have nothing. You don't ever talk like that, do you? Instead of getting up and saying, praise God, I'm still alive. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm still alive. Here's another day. I'm going to do something for God. I've got another day to labor in. You get up, you shake yourself and shake the old drowsiness off. Get in the out there at the table, you know, and get your little bite. Stretch out a little bit. Get on the job and all day long singing praise to God, making melody to the Lord in your heart, thanking at the end of the week what you're going to do for Jesus. Amen. Labor that you might have to give. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if I do all that, what am I going to have? You old greedy thing. Amen. What are you worrying about anyway? After all, if you feed that belly all your life, all they're going to do is lay it down in a coffin, put it in a box. After you've done your best to feed it and give it everything it wants, it'll wind up in a box. Isn't that some reward for all of your labor? That's right. Powder your nose all you want to. Arch your eyebrows and do whatever you have to do, you know. And when you get through with all of it, they got a nice box that'll fit you just right. As a reward for all of your labor. But I'll tell you what. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'd add all the good things unto you. Isn't that right? Amen. You can seek God, and God will bless you not only with eternal life, but with the temporal things in this world right down here. God will see that you have the very best to eat, the very best to wear. God will see that you have everything that your heart desires. And I challenge anybody here or anywhere in the world that hears my voice to come and tell me that I'm a liar and prove to me, don't just come and tell me, but prove to me that they've given to God and God has not rewarded them, and I'll give them everything that He's given me that I can get my hands on. Amen. I challenge anybody in the world to do it. This old drag back of saying, well, I ain't got nothing because I give it all to God. Don't you lie. The Bible said don't lie against the truth. You ain't give to God like that. God don't work like that. You ain't got nothing because you give it all to God. Come on, folks. God don't work like that. God doesn't lie. Amen. The Bible said no man. When he said no man, he meant no man. There is no man that's ever left wife and children at home for Christ's sake, but what he won't receive a hundredfold in this world and then in the world to come, everlasting life. God don't make mistakes, folks. Hallelujah. If we are just nipping and a tucking, it's because we're just a nipping and a tucking in our giving and in our service to God. Somebody say amen or oh me or shut up, whatever you want to say. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. That's the way the book teaches it. You say, well, Brother Pike, don't you know what it is to hit it rough? I sure do. I've been out on the field and had May pop tires, but God fed me good and he didn't let the tires pop. Amen. It was just as good as if I'd had a set of Michelins on it. Rode just as good. Hallelujah. I was taken care of just as well. I had a, what you might call a rattle trap, but it rattled right on to wherever I was going. God took care of it. Amen. When time come to eat, God gave us something to eat. He done me like he did Elijah over by the brook. God took care of me. He's a great God. He's never failed me yet. He always takes care of me. So then, folks, you cannot give to God without God giving to you. God wants us to be spiritual. He wants us to get a vision. He wants us to be like the early church. He wants us to get out there and make a drive for God and take this thing as a life, not as a sideline. A lot of people take it as a sideline. They just do something for God whenever it's convenient or whenever they can find the time to do it. I believe it ought to be alive with us. We ought to live this as a life. It ought to be our daily thoughts, our daily words, our daily deeds, our daily desires. It ought to be alive with us. You young ladies ought to want to live for God in such a way that every day of your life that you want to wake up, dress right, look holy, talk holy, think holy, to be a light for Christ. You elderly women ought to do the same thing. You younger and elderly men ought to do the same thing. It ought to be the meditation and the desire of your heart just to think about Jesus. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I just can't seem to find peace anywhere. I have people that come to me, you know. They say, I can't seem to find any peace, Brother Pike. But you know what the problem is? The Bible tells us all the paths of God are peace. What you're doing, you're just walking out of the paths of God. You're not walking down the paths of God. If you'd get in the paths of God, you'd have peace. Somebody said, but my mind is troubled. I just can't seem to get along with my neighbor. I just can't seem to understand what's happened to me. I can tell you, you're not following the path of peace. All of the paths of peace are God's paths. All of God's paths are the paths of peace. So then you're not following God. If you'll get lined up with God, then you'll be all right. You'll say, but Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. I live for God every day. What do you call living for God? See, that's where the mix-up is. Somebody said, well, I'm Baptist. That's where I live for God. That's not living for God. Somebody said, well, I'm Church of God. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Catholic. Whatever it might be. I'm a Bethlehemite. I'm living for God. Brother, that don't mean you're living for God. Who is God anyway? God is a spirit. How do we know God? By the Word. Then what do we serve? Paul said, I serve God who is a spirit with my spirit. He's the spirit of holiness. That is, my spirit submits to holiness. My spirit worships holiness. My spirit conforms to holiness. Amen. I don't have a bitter confidence in these evangelists that go about just preaching. All you got to do is believe. It's all by grace. God's going to take care of it. You can believe he is by putting some of you evangelists in hell for going and doing the things you're doing. He's going to take care of it, all right. But see, the Bible tells me to be holy in body and in spirit. It means I've got something to do with my body, and that is make my body conform to holiness. So then what is serving God? It's living holy. It's dressing holy. It's talking holy and it's being holy. That means everywhere you go. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I know I'm excused because I work on a job and they say I have to wear pantsuits. Well, bless your heart, you need to get off the job. You're on the wrong job. You're on the wrong job. You mean to tell me that God, who let Jesus Christ spill his blood at Calvary, that God that looked down on you and done that to save your soul, that he's not worthy of you changing jobs, and he's going to let you compromise and wear pantsuits just because you got to feed your belly? Come on, folks. He didn't say it would be bitter to the belly for nothing. He said, this little book that you eat here, said you eat this little book, said it's gonna feel like an injustice to your belly. Amen. It's gonna make, instead of putting hamburgers in it, sometimes you're gonna drop something in the offering and the belly ain't gonna be in agreement with it. He said, this thing gonna be bitter to that belly. Amen. But said, you just keep eating the book. Eating the book. All of your labor's for your belly, cause your belly craves it of you. But the Bible said labor that you might have to give to God. That's bitter to your belly. Amen. But I tell you what, it's mighty good food. Hallelujah. And so then, as I said so many times, God put the old serpent on his belly and he's been on his belly ever since. But this little book's bitter to the belly. Isn't that right? It's bitter to the belly. What God wants us to do is get out of that old serpent mind of carnality that's enmity to God. Quit worrying about sex and quit worrying about eating and quit worrying about riding. Quit worrying about drinking. Quit worrying about getting land and houses and get a little bit of holiness in your life. Stop this foolishness of telling people that everything's by grace and you don't have to do anything. God, when you preach grace, God tells us to preach grace like this, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world. That's the grace that God speaks of. That's the grace that takes care of it. God has given grace. He's given the spilt blood at Calvary to give you a dispensation of grace that you might repent of your sins and get right with God and line up with God so that when God takes the blood atonement off of the throne, off of the mercy seat, that you'll be ready to meet Christ. So then, God expects us to do something. I say this with all reverence, fear, and respect. The great evangelist that's sweeping across the country, that's having hundreds of thousands of people to gather around the altar and say, I accept Christ. I say this with great respect, that don't amount to a hill of beans unless they're telling them to repent of their sins. You don't just say, I accept Christ. God said, repent of your sins. Amen. Somebody said, well, we want that same God you got, John. John said, you generation of vipers, straighten your life out. Come and bring some meat or fruits. That's meat for repentance. Show me something, then I'll baptize you. We got into a routine, you know. We sprinkle, we dip, we do anything they want to do just because they want us to do it. They don't repent of their sins. They have no plans of forsaking anything. They don't have no plans of turning around and serving God. But because the great evangelist comes through and he tells the people that if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. Hundreds of thousands of people gather around the altar. They come and stand in the presence of the evangelist and they say, I believe, but that doesn't do the job. You say, well, Brother Pike, isn't that all they can do? Certainly not. There's a lot of things they can do. The first thing is repent. Hallelujah. You say, but the Bible teaches it shall come to pass that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The writer said over there in Paul speaking, said, be baptized in the name of Jesus, calling upon the name of the Lord. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So then, God said to John, said, John, there's an open door, but there's something for you to do. So then what is it? Come up hither. Amen. There's something for you to do. I set a door before you. The writer said, there's an open door. I set a door before you. Said, you've got a little strength because you've not denied my name. There's a door open before you. You've got a little strength. But he said, strengthen that which remains. If you've got something, it's time to strengthen it. Wake up and strengthen it before it dies. He said, I will remove the candlestick from out of thy midst. Unless you strengthen what you've got. You've got to strengthen what you've got, or God will take the candlestick out altogether. And America is on the verge of God moving the candlestick right now. I have set before thee an open door. You've got a little strength. Strengthen the things which remain. Rise up and do something. Folks, if you're not doing anything for Jesus, it's time to do something for Jesus. You say, Brother Pike, I come to Bethlehem, I listen to you preach, I listen to the other brethren preach, but that's not enough. That's just like the people coming up to the altar when the great evangelist is up there and he's preaching. They come before the altar and they say, I believe. You say, that makes it right. That doesn't make it right. If you say, I believe, then that just makes you relative to the devil. Come on now. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I said, when you say that you believe, that just makes you relative to the devil. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody said, wait a minute. God, I know which way I'm going. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me if I'm a believer, that just makes me relative to the devil? That wasn't what I said. That wasn't what I said. The Bible said to give the most earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest you let them slip, and to take heed how that you hear them. So you didn't hear me right. I said, when you say that you believe, for with the lips they confess me, but their hearts are far from me, Jesus said. When you believe, you are relative to God. But when you say that you believe, that don't mean a thing. How does it make you relative to the devil? Because the Bible said if you believe, the devil believes too. That makes you both walk along together. Is that right? Come on. The Bible said if you believe, then the devil believes too. So then, you can believe, but believe in the wrong way and still be relative to the devil. If you believe out of that old carnal mind of yours, then you're still relative to the devil because that's not faith. Somebody said, I believe in God, so does the devil. He believes there's a God as well as you believe there's a God. But that don't prove that you're spiritual, nor does that prove that you're out of carnality. Because the intellectual reasoning believes there's a God. Isn't that right? Even the devil in the garden believed there's a God when he worked through the tree of knowledge. He said, God said, don't do it. The devil said, but he knoweth that when you eat thereof, you shall become gods. Isn't that right? Sure, he knew that. That's why God let him do it. That's why Jesus came along later and said, ye are gods. Isn't that right? Amen. He intended for them to be gods, but not die like men. The sin caused them to die like men. Said, the day that thou eatest thou, then you'll be as gods. Isn't that right? Said, he knows that. See, he knew there was a God. He acknowledged there was a God. God knew that. The devil said, God knows that. But folks, it's going to take living right. It's going to take coming up into the presence of God. It's going to take going through that door. The Bible said some people won't go through the door. They'll just stand there and they hinder everybody else's coming. They won't live right. They won't repent of their sins. They won't dress holy. They won't confess God. They won't obey the word. They just stand at the door. And everybody that sees them says, well, if that's a Bethlehemite, I don't want to be one. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. But see, God wants us to go on in the door. What is the door? The word of God. Some stands facing the Word of God, and they know what the Word of God says, but they won't go in. Jesus said, I'm the door. That's the Word of God. Some of them will come to the Word of God. They'll come that far. They'll be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Church of God, whatever you want to call them. Isn't that right? Is that right? They'll be that. They'll come to the Word, but they won't honor the Word. They won't repent of their sins. They won't conform to the Word. They won't line up with the Word. They just come to the door and they act religious. But see, Jesus said, he that doeth the will of my Father. What is the will? Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it's written of me, O God, to do thy will. See, I am the door. There's the door open in heaven. Who is the door? It's the Word. What can we do? Go through the door. If we go through the door, then what happens? Come up hither. What is it? Then we'll be in the Spirit. For the Word is Spirit. Then we walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit. And everything we do is spiritual. And we become a spiritual being for God. And God begins to reward us as a spiritual being. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Get down to business, folks. We need to get down to business with God. We need to take this thing as something that is an every day, every minute, every thought affair. And get right down to where we say, Lord, forgive us for the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now you listen at me. If we don't do that, they'll pick you up somewhere in a wreck. The preachers, the laity, whoever it is, they will pick you up somewhere in a wreck. God said, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And I want to remind you again, he didn't say, lest the devil tears you into pieces. The devil can't do nothing unless God gives him permission to do it. When he went before God back there, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, just give me the permission. That's all I ask. God said, beware lest I tear you into pieces because you forget God. What is God? God's the Word. Because you forget the Word, because you've got ideology and you are religious and you belong to church and you believe in what your grandmother said more than what God says. Isn't that right? When faith is by the Word, translation is by the Word, I don't care if it's brother, if it's sister, if it's daddy, if it's mama, if it's Brother Pike, if it's Brother Branham, I don't care who it is, if it don't line up with the Word, it's not God. You need enough backbone to lay your brother, your sister, your mother, your daughter, child, whatever it is, on the altars for God, just like Abraham did. Amen. And have enough boldness of God to step right up and put your finger in their face in a godly way and say, let me tell you, in the Bible it says you've got to do such and such, and my brother, my sister, it is written, and that's all that God will accept. And then you'll find out what avenue they live on. Say, well, I got confidence in them. Well, you'll lose all of it in about 2 minutes. Amen. You just cross their wires a little bit and you'll find out whether the God of love lives in there or the God of wrath lives in there. Just cross their wires just a little bit and you'll find out who lives in that little house that you call the temple of God. All right. So then the Lord is expecting us to shape up, folks. We're down at the end of the trail. This takes some holy living. It takes just some good, simple, down-to-earth God sense to realize that wives have got to honor and obey the husbands, and husbands have got to love the wives, and children have got to honor their parents, and that contractors have got to treat their workers right, and the workers have got to treat the contractors right. Amen. If you work in an office, you've got to acknowledge that that man's your boss, and he's got to acknowledge that you're a human being. That you're God's creature. Amen. Just some good common God sense teaches that you can't go around with your dress split down here or cut down here or pulled out by the arms. Come on. That a man can't go around looking like he's been melted down and poured into his pants. Amen. Just good common sense from God teaches you that. That doesn't become holiness, and the Bible tells us to dress as becometh holiness. Isn't that right? A lot of people say, well, I don't believe in the clothesline. Well, you need to start believing in it, because the clothesline is mentioned in the book. It tells you to dress as becometh holiness. Amen. So then it gets a hold of your dressing. It gets a hold of your hair. It says if a man has long hair, it's a shame to him. Come on, folks. Amen. And if a woman have short hair, then it's a shame to her. Is that right? So then God's concerned about the hair. He's concerned about the dressing. He's concerned about everything else. God is concerned because God is trying to redeem the body. He wants to redeem the body. You say, well, I just believe in the Spirit. Well, that don't have anything to do with it. Hallelujah. That don't have anything to do with it. God wants to redeem the body. The Bible teaches that the body is the purchased possession. Isn't that right? And God is wanting the purchased possession. He purchased it at Calvary. That's His possession. He purchased it with His blood. And that's the purchased possession. And God wants that purchased possession. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I just don't believe it like that. I don't believe you've got to wear the long dresses. I don't believe you've got to do all them things you say. Well, that's all right. I am talking to the believers, not the unbelievers. Now, somebody said, well, don't you believe I'm going to make it in? God runs you through tribulation or runs you through the fire, and then you'll take a change of heart and you'll say, well, that old bald-headed preacher that kept preaching to me, maybe there's more to that than I thought it was. And instead of wearing mini skirts, I think I'll at least wear them below my knees. Then He runs you through a little more fire and you think, well, maybe there's a little more to it. You might drop them on down to your ankles. Somebody said, you don't believe in that. Yes, I do. Amen. The Bible said He's our example. We ought to follow in His steps. When John saw Him, he said it was down to the feet. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I'd hate to stand before Him even as a man if it wasn't down to the feet, let alone as a woman. Somebody said, well, I don't think it matters. Well, I said that I'm not talking to the unbelievers. I'm talking to the believers. So if you believe another way, well, maybe you got another book, but I'm talking about this book, Dressing as Becometh Holiness. Somebody said, well, what's your definition as becometh holiness? The way the ladies of old dressed. Come on, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. Say, well, what about the miniskirts? They didn't wear them in the days of old like that. If a woman had come around with her, if a woman had come around, now listen to me. Some of you preachers say, well, as long as it's 3 inches below the knees. If a woman had come around with her dress 3 inches below the knees back in the olden days, back yonder, in the time of Christ, they'd have run her through a belt line or something. They'd have called her every kind of name except the right name. Come on, folks. I'm talking about God and the Word of God. Not what you think about it. Somebody said, well, there ain't no standard. Yes, there is. There's a Bible standard. Somebody said, it's just what we decide. No, it's what God says about it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just as bad for you to go around showing your legs as it is for me to show mine. Come on. Wouldn't you like for the preacher to come in tonight and he had on some shorties? He comes walking up here and you see his old hairy legs as he comes walking up there. And he picks up the book and said, now don't be alarmed. It's just 3 inches below the knees. That's all we require. Come on, folks. Amen. All right, so then we need to do it the right way. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, you're not funny. You're not either. We're talking about the Word. All right, so then, folks, we need to do it God's way. I'm believing the right way. Now, you can do it like you want to, but it's my job to tell you the way it's supposed to be done. All right, will you stand with me? A lot of evangelists has encouraged people to try to get them down 3 inches below their knees, you know. Say, well, why did they do it? Because they felt like it's going to be fortunate if they ever got them down that far. That's right. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Amen. I never will forget the vision I saw, 3 pools of the vision. And each dress that the woman had wasn't right until the last one. And when she got it down to her ankles, and when she got the thing on her arms right and up here right, then the vision showed it was right. and the rain come. And folks, the rain ain't going to come until the church gets straightened out. There is a mini revival. Amen. I said there's a mini revival. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And there is a mini revival. But I like that maxi revival. Hallelujah. Just give me the maximum. I'll take the maximum. Amen. God said, I'll give you the rain. You know, I'll give it to you kind of moderately. But I'll tell you what. When we get down to business, I'll just pour it out heap upon heap. And that's the way I saw it in the vision, you know. Double potion. So then I believe that we ought to do it right. Somebody said, well, it embarrasses me for me to cover up my legs. I tell you, you are a funny creature. You are a very peculiar creature. If it bothers you to cover your neckness up, you are a very peculiar creature. And if it bothers your husband to walk around with you with your neckness covered up, he is even more peculiar. But I thank the Lord for some that's willing to suffer shame for his name. Really, there's no shame to it. I noticed that this year they've dropped the dresses down below the knees. How have you noticed that? I noticed today. I pointed out to some of them today. We go along every now and then. I look in the windows and I see that the dresses are dropping down below the knees. Why do that? Why not keep wearing the miniskirts? I mean, why put them below your knees? Why not just go on wearing the miniskirts? I mean, what's the difference? There must be a reason. You know what it is? People's getting that feeling that Christ is coming. Jimmy Carter in office and him being religious. And they say an average of so many radio stations every week turns religious since Jimmy's been in office. See, it's something about they know Jesus is coming. And they're beginning to be ashamed because when God found them, he found them naked in the garden. And they begin to run, try to hide it with some fig leaves. Amen. They feel naked on the inside. They don't have that Shekinah covering on the inside. And they're trying to cover it up with the dresses. Somebody said, aha, that's where you're wrong, Brother Pye. I believe in the Shekinah covering on the inside, not the outside. Well, I said, all right. You just get the Shekinah covering on the inside and you won't have to worry about the outside. I'll guarantee you that. You just take care of that first part. Jesus said you cleanse that platter on the inside. And I'll tell you what, when you get that Jesus on the inside, he'll make you cover them naked legs up. Amen. He'll straighten you out. So then let's suffer a little shame if that's what you want to call it. The dresses are so popular today, there's no shame to it. But if you want to call it a little shame for Jesus' name, well, let's suffer a little shame for Jesus' name and let's be a real Christian and let's live right. And folks, if you can't do it in your community, we've got a little community called Little Bethlehem. If you feel ashamed around your kind of folks, then come down here with our kind of folks. If you believe that you ought to dress this way and you feel out of place out there, then that means you're with the wrong kind of people anyway. You need to be down here. Birds of a feather flock together. Isn't that right? Some of them flew the coop because they wasn't the same birds. Somebody said, I don't have to be here to do what's right. Just go around to their houses when they leave, Little Bethlehem, and pull away and see if their wives don't change their mode of dressing. See if they don't change their mode of living, the man. See if they ain't a change in their life. You say, how do you know? Because I've been there. My wife and I pulled in at the wrong time. It wasn't convenient for them. They didn't have time to run. Paul said, being crafty, we caught him with a guile. So the number of times before, there's a blind woman. They prayed for and prayed for. She couldn't seem to get her sight. And I felt so sorry for her. I prayed for her too. But nothing didn't seem to happen. So one day, Betty and I, we decided we'd go visit. And boy, I tell you what, we didn't even get near the door before we heard her roaring like a lion. I mean, she was laying it down, blind or no blind. She was laying down, letting the chips fall where they would. And when we walked in and she realized we was there, she was so shocked. And we talked to her. And then, when we told her about the love of God and faith working by love, later we got a chance to pray for her, and she declared before God and before the people, she said, "My eyes have opened enough that I can read the Big Apple sign in the newspaper." Now, there is a reason why things happen. Did you know that? There is a reason. I know there's other reasons. A man was nigh to death because Paul said he spared not his body for God. And Paul was stoned for Christ's sake. But I'm talking about the other kind now. I'm talking about the other kind. You understand what I'm saying? We can do something for God, but we're going to have to live right. Ladies, let me exhort you tonight. Be a real woman. Don't be a half-hearted hypocrite. Don't wear those dresses just because your husband says you've got to wear them. Don't you know that you'll go to hell if you're wearing that dress just because your husband wants you to wear it? You'll go to hell just as sure as I'm standing here behind this pulpit. You've got to wear that dress because there's something on the inside that makes you love God and you feel like you want to be decent and upright, and you just want to wear it because you feel like that's the pleasure of Christ in your life. You say, "Well, I don't feel like that is the pleasure of Christ." Well, you need to get born again. All right. Examine yourself and see if your convictions is in the Word. Not everyone that saith the Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will. So then, stand up like a lady. Be a real lady. Wear them and wear them decent and wear them right. Make them right. Don't try to cheat a little here and cheat a little there and wind up making them form-fitting and just be in as bad or worse a shape as the world. Hippies wear long dresses. Did you know that? But they rip them down the side. They rip them down the front and they rip the arms out of them. And when you go to doing all them things, you ain't no more than a hippie. But wear them like a lady and be a lady. And you men, when you walk with your wife, you be proud of her and you thank God for a lady. Don't you be a half-hearted hypocrite and be ashamed because she's willing to act like a lady and you get around some Jezebel or some man out there that's cheating a little on the side that calls himself a banker or a dentist or some businessman that ain't worth picking up in out of the dirt. You deny your lady out there. You treat her like a lady. You let him know she's a lady and you make him act like she's a lady. And the ones that can't treat her like a lady, you've got no business around them. And you ladies, don't be wolves in sheep clothing. That is sheep clothing. So don't be wolves. Don't go giggling and lusting, flirting, keeping your mind on everything in the world so that people won't have any respect for you to reproach little Bethlehem. I've said this before. If you can't be a lady, and if you can't live right, when you go to town and they look on you like you belong to Bethlehem, you'd be bold enough to say, "No, I'm just wearing the long dresses. It's just another day with me. I don't belong out there." Them people are holy and clean, upright folks. Because if you ain't holy and clean and upright, you don't belong to little Bethlehem. You say, "Well, I come to church out here." That don't mean nothing. Amen. If you belong to little Bethlehem, you're a saint of God. If you ain't a saint of God, you don't belong to little Bethlehem. All right. Let's get the mud off the water, folks. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, that means there's got to be some works. Isn't that right? Faith without works is dead. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what I want to do, is do some good works. I feel like building these things out here for God and building them for the God purpose and not trying to be greedy and selfish and building them for some ill motive, you know, of having a little private kingdom. I believe that's a light for God. You say, "What makes you think that?" Because people are talking about all around the world. It is a light for God. Living by faith, walking by faith, singing and living together in the holiness of Christ. What a beautiful salvation. What a beautiful day. What a wonderful moment. I'm a happy Christian. I really am a happy Christian. I believe God answers my prayers. I believe that. When I pray, I believe God answers my prayers. I believe it with all of my heart. You say, "Well, I don't." Well, I do. I believe he answers my prayers. When I pray because I believe from the depths of my soul that he will answer my prayer. All right, you love Jesus? There's a young lady here tonight that's backslid on God. You one time loved Jesus. You one time had a real, genuine experience with God. But you got your mind on the world and you backslid and got away from God. And now you're in trouble with God. And even though it hasn't really appeared yet as how much trouble you're in, yet in a little while you're going to see that you're really in trouble. For the Bible said, woe unto the backslider. And the scriptures teaches that one woe comes and then another woe. And the way of the transgressor is hard. If you are transgressing against God, my brother and sister, you are in for a fire. Retrial. Woe, woe, woe. That's a white woman I'm speaking of. There's a black woman here that plays the hypocrite continually. She won't do right when it comes to her hair. She won't do right when it comes to living right. She won't do right when it comes to keeping her temper straightened out. And God is going to get her. She's already been through the fire, and she's going to be put through the fire a whole lot more. When you come out here and you wear the long dresses just to be here at Bethlehem, and then you leave from here, and you go back and you wear pantsuits and you wear short dresses and all these things, God is going to get you. God is going to get you. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not a Christian. I come here and I wear these out of respect for you. That's a different situation. If you are not a Christian and you have enough respect for us to wear those out here, may God bless you. I appreciate that. And if you go back and put on the other dresses, that's between you and God. And I appreciate it if you would cover up your neckness out here, because we believe in that. But I'm speaking to those that profess Christianity. The Bible said, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. What is a body that's giving a living sacrifice? What does it mean? A body that is given as a living sacrifice unto God, what does he mean by that? It means a complete surrender of your life and your desire to the conformity of the Word or the mind of Jesus Christ to the life of the Son of God. All right. If you're not doing that, then you're not a living sacrifice. And you haven't done your reasonable service. You love Jesus? That's why a lot of you are not healed. A lot of times the evangelist prays for you, say, well, I just can't get healed. I've had brother so-and-so to pray for me and brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and I just can't get healed. There's something wrong with you. Come on. You say, well, I know there's something wrong with me, Brother Pye, because I can't get healed. There's something wrong with your Christian life. That's right. He said, well, I don't believe Christians really have afflictions. But, so, you know, some folks say that, but they do. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. Then some will say, well, I'm suffering like Job did. God delivered Job out of his affliction. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of them all. Isn't that right? If God hasn't delivered you out, if there's something wrong somewhere, something wrong, that's pretty tight. That's right. Shoes like that pinches the little. That's pretty tight. But the evangelist can pray for you. You don't get healed. If you'll quit hypocriting around, you'll get healed. Come on. I said, if you'll quit hypocriting around, you'll be healed. If you'll search your life, there's something in your life that's not right with God. I don't know where it's temper or whether it's lust. I don't know where it's covetousness for the world's goods, or whether you can't get along with your neighbor, or you just got old evil thoughts that's eating you up in your mind all the time, or what, but there's something wrong with your life. The Bible said, charity thinketh no evil. Isn't that right? So there's something wrong with you. You say, Brother Pike, don't that hit you? Just like you hit me with a ball bat. But it's true, so help me God. It don't matter whether it fits the evangelist or whether it fits the evangelist's wife or the children or the neighbors or whoever. It's what God said about it. I'm going to say this and I'm going to pray for these people. You say, well, I don't believe sin is really what causes sickness. Well, that's, to me, that proves you don't understand God nor the Bible. You say, well, Jesus said that the man's sickness wasn't because of sin. He did not say that. You can't find that in the Bible. He didn't say that. He said the man had not sinned. But the Bible said, God visits the iniquity of the fathers down upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Isn't that right? He didn't say it wasn't caused from sin. He just said the man hadn't sinned. Neither his parents. Isn't that right? But he didn't say it wasn't caused from sin. Somebody said, well, it was for the glory of God. He didn't say that either. No sickness is for the glory of God. Jesus healed the man. That was for the glory of God. The man was sick that the glory of God might be made manifest, which was the healing and deliverance of the man. That was the part that was for the glory of God. Isn't that right? Like Brother Jack Coe said one time, if sickness is for the glory of God, you ought to pray, God, make me a lot worse than what I am. You ought not be trying to get somebody to pray the prayer of faith for you. Because that's what we want to do, is glorify God. Isn't that right? So you must not know what you're talking about. All right, so then God wants to heal you, and God will heal you. But sickness is caused from sin. There was no sin or no sickness until Eve sinned in the garden. Isn't that right? There was no sickness. But when Eve sinned in the garden, then sickness came in. Isn't that right? Can you show me any sickness before sin ever came? No. Sickness came because of sin, my brother. So then, how can we get rid of sickness? Get rid of sin. Get rid of sin. When the evangelist gets more interested in preaching to you about getting rid of your sins than he does about preaching to you about your healing, we'll have a well church. But evangelists don't want to tell you about your sins because they know the devil's got a hold of you and they'll run you off. Amen. They'll run you off and they won't be able to get your offering. But they know you need healing for your body, and they can preach healing all they want to, and you'll just flock in at their meetings and just keep on coming. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said you can get your healing, but he said, go thy way and sin no more. And why did he say sin no more? If sin ain't got nothing to do with it, why did he say just go thy way? If sin didn't have nothing to do with the sickness, he said, go thy way and sin no more. Why? Because sickness has to do with sin. Our sin sickness. And if you sin again, you're going to get more sickness. That's going to be even worse. Jesus said, go thy way and sin no more. That's a worse thing come upon you. That is, now that you know the knowledge of God, then you go sin, you're really in for trouble. Now this is going to sting a little bit. And I'm not saying it to do that, because I want to help you. Because I know we got a mixed up world, and I want to help you. But a lot of you are in trouble right now because of marriages. One time and two times and three times. And I don't know how many times. And you take it from Brother Pike tonight. If you marry more than one time and that companion is not in violation of the Word of God, you are in adultery. I don't care what the preacher tells you. I don't care what anybody else tells you. The Word of God tells me that you are in adultery. And heaven and earth will pass away. The evangelists will pass away. You'll pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. It is settled in heaven. It can't be altered or changed. It says that a woman is bound to the laws of her husband so long as he liveth. As long as he lives on the face of this earth, unless there is a violation of the holy ordinance of God, she is bound to the laws of her husband. You hear me? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we done got married now. Since when? Who married you? You mean to tell me that you can leave your wife and your family, go across the hill, find some other woman over there and get you a half-drunk JP? Are you listening? And he signs some kind of scrap paper and hands it to you and stamps it with something that they call making it official, and then you can spend the rest of your life with some woman that don't belong to you, And your poor wife sitting over there, let me tell you something, if you stay with her 10 years, you're in adultery. And you're wicked. And the 10 years that you stay with her, you're on your way to hell. And if somebody else tells you that you're on your way to heaven, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. He goes to hell with you. Woe unto that man that calls darkness light and light darkness. Now, so then, it's whatever the book says. I know we got a mixed up world. And I know we got some people that's in what they call double marriages. But it is a true fact that if your companion has violated the words and principles of God's laws which bind you together, you are free from him to be married to another. And if that be the case, you do not have two living companions. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you have two living companions. You don't have but one. If you are a minister and you've been married twice and it has been according to the word of God, you do not have two companions. You have one companion. You have one wife. Just one wife. That's all. Somebody said, well, he can't preach the gospel because he's got two wives. Brother, let me tell you something. If he's got two wives, he's going to hell. He can't even go to heaven. He's not a preacher to begin with. He's not even a Christian. What makes you call a man a Christian and say he's got two living companions and say he can't preach? What's the matter with you? Don't you know if he's got two companions, he's on his way to hell to begin with. He's not a Christian. Of course he can't preach. But my brother, the one that the Word of God, which is the Son of God, has made free, is free indeed. If he is married to the second woman, according to this Word of God, he has one companion and he can preach the gospel. He only has one wife. And the Bible said, let your ministers be the husband of one wife. And Paul was speaking of polygamy in those days. We got a lot of people committing polygamy now. They married to two or three women, and they're not free except by some JP that was half drunk when he said it's free. All right. So then I'm telling you like it is, brethren. I don't know your cases. I don't know your lives. But I'm telling you like it is because I want to meet you over on the other side someday. And when you stand there, you say, Brother Pike, because you told me the truth, I made it in. Amen. I don't want you to come point your finger in my face and say, you said it was all right, Brother Pike, when it wasn't all right, and now I'm going to hell because of what you said. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together just before we pray for these people. Can we? Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Now, I'm honest with you tonight, brethren, not warring with you, not trying to find fault with you. I'm honest. If you can show me where I'm wrong in the Bible, anybody at Little Bethlehem, anybody that hears these tapes, if you can show me the scripture, don't come and tell me what you think or what somebody said or what you believe, because that isn't going to change me. But if you can show me in the scripture where I'm wrong, I'll change anything that I have said. But you got to show me Bible for it. Now, if you can't show me the Holy Scriptures, there ain't no need of you coming to me telling me what you believe or what somebody said or what you think, because I'm not going to accept that. The Bible said, let every man be a liar and the word of God be true. If it be an angel, and that angel comes to you, if he don't tell you this book, let him be a liar. So that you got to tell me what the book says, and we'll get together. Because I believe that's the way it is. I believe it with all my soul. My whole life and soul rests on the fact that that book is right. If it ain't right, then I'm a goner. because I'm trusted in it with all my life and heart. So then I love you, and I want to help you. I'll do anything I possibly can to help you. I wouldn't offend you for nothing. I wouldn't hurt you. You're dear children of God, and I wouldn't hurt you. But I want to tell you the truth. And folks, it's going to take holiness. The Bible said without holiness, no man should see the Lord. And it's going to take holiness. When the angel of God spoke through John, the Spirit of God moved over there and spoke through Zacharias, that is, the father of John. He prophesied saying this, that God has declared or proclaimed that we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And that's what we've got to do. Be holy, be right. Be holy as I'm holy. Be therefore perfect as I'm perfect. Every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Isn't that right? You do that and we'll have a healthy group of people at Little Bethlehem. Amen. You people that have been sick, you'll be praying the prayer of faith and you'll be healthy and other people will be healthy too. When God said the saints shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, He didn't stutter. He didn't make mistakes. He didn't say maybe. Or He didn't say if such and such a thing happens. He said they shall. Now either God lied or it's got to happen. Isn't that right? If everything is right in the life of them that you pray for. Isn't that right? All right. So then, we'll pray for you. And we'll have healthy people at Bethlehem. Old Brother Moses had a strict, straight law. Didn't he? And the Bible said there wasn't one sick among them. Isn't that right? He laid it down like it was, and there wasn't nobody sick. Amen. Hallelujah. God met your needs. And that's the way we believe it at Little Bethlehem, that it ought to be straight. All right, so I'm going to pray for you tonight. These people have complications. I believe there's one standing here that the doctor might have told them that they've got leukemia or cancer. If that's true, then that's sure death. There ain't no ifs and ands about it. You can't pretty it up. It's a death, unless God undertakes. The Bible said in that day there'd be no healing medicines. We're already living in the day. Somebody said, well, the doctor where I go, he has healing medicine. No. The scriptures can't be broken. Somebody said, well, how is it then they go up there to the doctor and get healed through the grace of God? He's just allowing doctors to work with him and still allowing the healing to come. Isn't that right? Oh, somebody said, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Then why is it the Bible said that Asa was smitten in his feet? And because he sought the physicians rather than God, he died. Why didn't the physicians heal him? If they could heal him, why didn't they heal him? The Bible said if he'd have sought God, he'd been all right. So if you're going to the physician, the thing to do is seek God. That's the thing, folks. That's the thing to do. I'm not against you having any medical aid or anything else you can do. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine doeth good, according to the Bible. They poured in the oil and the wine in the wounds. It's wise to do something. Whatever you can. If you don't have to disgrace yourself, or go up there and make our ladies a gay 90s show before the doctors. I'm against that. But if there's a decency that you can do it through medical aid, then I'm for it. Otherwise, I'm not. But I believe you ought to seek God. That's what I believe. And I believe everything will be all right. All right. So then we're going to pray. That day there shall be no healing medicines. Which means God will lift His grace and He won't let medicine cure. He won't let nothing cure. Because He intends for them to repent of their sins. And folks, we're fast coming to that day. He's made it easy on us. They've been able to give us pills for our pains and everything else. But now we done come down to that day when God knows that we have some understanding of religious affairs. And God is demanding it of us. And He's expecting us to do something about it now instead of turning to the pill box and becoming a dope addict. Is that right? This ministry, I say it as I said this morning, is for one purpose. And that purpose is the coming together of every saint of God for the rapture and every minister to iron their differences out. And I say this very boldly, that if they do not come together in this message, they will completely dry up. They will have no message. They will have no anointing. They will have no blessing of God. There will be no rain on their crops. And if they oppose this message and fight this message, God will put them in the grave, or some bad calamity will befall them. It's not like it has been in the past. It's time that we've got to do something, folks. God's tired of his little sheep being tore up, split into splinters by a bunch of money-hungry evangelists and fame-crazy evangelists. All right. So then we want you to work with us, and we want to work with you, and we want to do what we can. I'm looking for him to come any time now, the chief cornerstone, ain't you? Let's sing a little bit more of that chorus, can we? You know, you got to believe. If you're going to get any healing, you got to believe. Let's sing it again. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that they've got to come together in this message. All right. You go your way and you do your thing. But I promise you that what I told you will come to pass. It'll be too late for you then to do anything about it. But it will come to pass. It's that hour. It's that time. You say, God said that he had sheep that's of another fold or another flock. I know he did. I know that. But he said, someday I'll bring them all together. There will be one fold and there will be one shepherd. Isn't that right? Not two, one. Father of heaven, as I pray, oh God, I feel faith right now.
Lord,
hallelujah, I feel faith in the name of Jesus.
Lord,
hallelujah, I feel the quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead. Heal this body. Oh God, heal this body. Give me a good report, Father, in Jesus' name.
Lord,
I felt God do something for you. And I ask you, Lord, to touch him. In the lovely name of Jesus, Lord, and break the yokes from off of them. Touch him in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for this sister. God, she's much trouble over her situation. But God, you can straighten things out. There's nothing that's too complicated for thee, Lord. And though she's much perplexed, yet in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to change the situation of this home and of this life. Help her to believe in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find.
Let's have faith in God now. There's people that's got some real complex situations. And they need help. They don't just come up here for nothing. They come up here because they have problems. So let's pray. And let's believe that God will help them with these problems.
Reach
Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel your presence. I feel your mighty presence, oh God. I want you to break the evil spirit from off of this body that would trouble her, the pressure. I feel you lifting it now. Move the pressure, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Move it. I pray, oh God, that you would move it. Heal this body completely. Restore strength to these nerves. In Jesus' name, happen to believe right now, Father. In Jesus' name, touch the little ones tonight. Father, as I lay hands on them, I ask you to touch them tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch the little ones, Jesus. Father, touch these little ones in the name of Jesus tonight. Lay your wonderful hand upon them and heal, save, and forgive in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch the sister tonight. May the great Spirit of the Lord come down in her heart. May her sins be forgiven. Oh God, I feel her faith. Let her believe. Oh God, as you hear from heaven, I feel faith tonight. Have your way, Jesus. Heal in your wonderful name. Father, touch the sister tonight. The wonderful name of Jesus. I feel the healing virtues of God tonight. And I want you to heal the sister. Heal her, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Heal, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. I can feel the presence of God tonight. Father, move this fever tonight. I want you to rebuke it right now. In the name of the Lord, move this fever. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name, Father. Touch him in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch my sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, let thy great Spirit, O God, come down upon her. And let her believe with all of her heart tonight. Thou art a healer. Thou art a savior. Oh, God, heal and forgive in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch my brother tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you do something special for him tonight. Lord, he has a desire to work for you. But Lord, there's a great block that's standing in the way. Lord, a great mountain that seems so hard to get over. But I ask you to move it in the name of Jesus. May he have the victory in Christ. May he be able to believe with all of his heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch the children in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know something? Folks, let me tell you something. Remember this. For you to do something for God, you're going to have to believe. To get a healing, you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to make an effort. Press in. Make an effort. Try to believe. Make an effort to believe. You're going to have to believe. Now you can start out there and say, God sent me to work, do something, and you can go out there and you say, I'm going by faith, but you'll never get it done. You can leave your job and starve to death. Amen. When you go out there, you've got to go out there believing, trusting God and saying, God, I believe it, you're going to do it, and if you have to pray every day in the week to keep believing, you better get started on your prayer. Amen, because that's the only way it's going to work. Every day, you got to believe that God's going to do it for you. Amen. You start doing that and I guarantee your whole world will change. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray for Toby tonight, help him to believe. Lord, the secret lies within faith tonight. Help him to believe. God, let him make up his mind to believe. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, touch Jerry tonight. Help Jerry to believe. In the simplicity of God, help him to believe. Father, you want to do something for him. Help him to believe in Jesus' name. Touch the little children in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch Roger tonight. Help him believe. Help faith to come into his heart, Father. Help him to believe. Help him to realize he's got to believe. Hallelujah. Father, touch James tonight.
And I will do believe. That Jesus
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight,
I can.
Touch James. Move this indigestion tonight.
I will.
Move it in Jesus' name tonight.
Yes,
let thy great
I
spirit, O God, come down upon it. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to do it tonight.
Now.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I've been to the water and
Father,
I've
touch
been
Bob
baptized.
Tonight. The name of
been
Jesus,
to
heaven
the
to believe.
And I've been
Father,
baptized.
Help him to use his faith
been
tonight.
To the
Father,
water,
the secret is
I've
in believing.
Baptized.
Heal, forgive in Jesus' name.
I do believe.
Father, touch Tommy tonight.
I can.
Help him to believe. Oh, God, we do believe tonight. Help us to believe, Jesus, in
yes,
your great name. Father, touch my brother tonight. Help him to believe with all of his heart. In the power, in the anointing, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to believe in Jesus' name. Father, touch Paul tonight. Help him to believe tonight. In the name of Jesus. May your spirit rest upon him. Every yoke be broken. In the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, I cannot.
Father, touch
will,
this little
I do believe.
Father, touch this brother tonight.
I will.
In the name of Jesus, help him to believe. Father,
and
I feel his faith
will,
tonight.
Yes, I do.
I feel the
believe.
Simplicity of Christ in his heart.
Jesus
help
is
him to believe.
Me now.
Touch him tonight.
Oh, I
in the
can.
Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel you do it now. In the name
I
of Jesus,
will.
Father. Hallelujah. Father,
yes,
touch Daryl tonight. Help him to believe in the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, God,
Jesus,
I ask you to help him believe. Father, break every yoke.
Oh,
help him to know the secret
overcome.
Is believing in God. Heal
we'll
in Jesus' name, Father.
Overcome. We'll overcome today.
Father,
I know we will.
As I pray for Kathy tonight,
if
I pray in the name of Jesus. God, that you touch her. Help her to believe, Father. Help her to trust in you. Help her to live holy. Help her to be clean and upright before you, Jesus. Break the yoke from off of her life. And dear God, I pray for my mother tonight. Lord, heal my mother. Strengthen my mother. And bless her in the lovely name of Jesus.
Someday, some happiness. If in our heart. We can believe. We'll walk the streets of gold someday. Yes, we'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Nita tonight. God, help Nita to live right, Father. Help her to be clean and holy and upright. Help Linda to live right, Father. Help them to clean up their lives before thee, Father. Lord, to walk upright before you, to be holy. Lord, that you might forgive every sin, move every sickness, and that you might touch your body. I'm asking you to heal tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus, Father. Heal in your name tonight. In Jesus' name, Father. Touch this little girl in the name of Jesus, Father. Touch this sister in the name of Jesus tonight. I pray that you touch her.
Believe.
Father, help her to believe.
Yes,
in
I
Jesus
have
name.
Over.
Father, touch Sister Grace tonight. In the name of Jesus, help her to believe.
Oh,
Lord, with all of her heart, I feel her faith tonight.
Go.
Help her, God.
I
oh, God, to know
holy
her. Find faith in God. Hallelujah.
The
in the name of Jesus,
Ghost.
I feel you touching her
when
body right
pray,
now. Touching her life.
Oh, yeah.
In the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah.
In my
praise
heart.
God. I feel him touching you, Sister Grace.
I
Father, in the name
believe.
Of Jesus tonight, touch
I
my
feel
sister.
The Holy
Hallelujah.
Soul.
I
when
feel
I
your spirit
pray.
Tonight, God. I feel
for
your presence.
I'll
the wonderful
overcome.
Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, God, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. I pray that you bless her. Heal in the name of Jesus. Father, God, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. I ask you to heal tonight in your wonderful name, Jesus.
I do believe. Oh,
Father, as I touch my sister tonight, Lord, she's troubled. But dear God, I pray that every burden would be moved, every problem would be taken away. Dear God, that she can reach out. Oh, I feel her doing it right now in the name of Jesus. Let her faith rise up, God, as it has in the times gone by. In the days gone by, as she's reached out by faith and touched you, let her do it again. In the name of Jesus, I feel it right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel it, sister. Father, touch this little sister. In the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Touch this sister. In the name of Jesus, Father. Touch this sister tonight. Touch Sister Charlotte. Break every yoke, Jesus. Help her to believe. Hallelujah. I feel a believer. In the name of Jesus, I feel it right there. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I feel God tonight. Father, I pray for Sheila tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you heal her body. Father, forgive her sin. Help her to have the victory tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister. In the name of Jesus tonight. Move away the condemnation. Help her to lift up her head and cry. And start again, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody needs deliverance, Lord.
What did you want to say? Do you want to say something?
Somebody needs deliverance, Lord. Somebody
Father,
needs
grant
deliverance,
this request
Lord.
In Jesus' name. I know you're going to do it.
Shall
in the name of Jesus.
Lord, won't you come by here? Oh, come by here.
Father, touch this little lady. Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight,
here.
I ask you to do it, Jesus.
Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by
Father,
here, Lord.
Touch this little
come
lady in Jesus' name tonight. And grant a prayer in Jesus' name.
Lord, won't you come
Father,
by
touch this little baby. Touch Sister Helen tonight. Let the great power of God be upon her and Bobby. Oh God, fill her faith
salvation,
tonight. Help her to walk on with thee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Somebody
Father, touch my sister tonight.
Lord.
Break every yoke, Jesus. Help her to lift up her faith in God and walk on. Hallelujah. I feel her faith right now. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch this little lady in Jesus' name. Do you want to say something, honey?
Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Let's worship the Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, answer her request tonight. I know you will, Jesus. Father, touch Sister Francis tonight. I feel your presence, Jesus. I feel faith. Help Sister Francis, Lord, to lift up her head in Christ and believe God will continue to be the blessing, Father, that she start out to be. Let her be a light in Bethlehem. God, that'll shine bright and brighter under that perfect day. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, touch this little lady tonight in the name of Jesus and grant her request in Jesus tonight. Father, touch this little lady in Jesus' name. May the great Spirit of God rest upon her. Heal her body. Forgive in Jesus' name. Father, touch my sister tonight in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus. Father, sometimes she gets so troubled, Jesus. But Lord, she's trying to do the best she knows how. I know you're going to give her strength. Hallelujah. You're going to answer her request. And God, you're going to give her joy in her heart. I know you're going to do it. I think you're doing it now. Bring it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus. Let her rejoice in the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Have your way in her heart. Father, touch this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father. Help her to believe. To know that faith, God, is the right way. Heal her body. Strengthen her. Move
deliverance,
every condemnation.
What I
help her to look up.
Deliverance.
In Jesus' name.
What I
in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
The Lord.
You need to lift your face, sister.
Deliverance. What I want.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray for Sister Cantrell. I pray
deliverance
that you heal her. Lift up her faith tonight, Father. Help her to believe and to know the
I
secret of faith.
What
hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name tonight.
I want it.
Touch this little sister in Jesus' name tonight. Father, grant a request. I know you're going to do it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
God gives what I want. God gives what I want from the Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray for Vicky tonight, I ask you to touch Vicky. Help her to walk upright. Help her to be holy. Help her to be pure. Bless her home. Bless her children. The children, God. Oh, God, I pray for the request that she's turned in. I pray tonight, Father, for Debbie. I ask her to heal. I ask her to forgive. I ask her to restore the home. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little baby tonight in Jesus' name. Touch Sister Marcy tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. Let the mighty power of God be upon her life. And let it be upon the life of Bill. And help him to be a great team for God. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, bless my sister tonight. I pray for her in the name of Jesus. God, move every troubling spirit. Bring a joy. Bring a peace tonight. Bring a satisfaction in her heart. I feel you doing it now. In the name of Jesus, Father. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name tonight. Touch them in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Power. Wonder working power.
Hallelujah.
In the precious blood
of the Lamb. Oh, there's power.
Power.
Wonder working
power.
There is power
blood
in His blood. Power in His blood. Oh, there's power.
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 Wonder working power.
In the precious
blood of the Lamb. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him? There's power in the blood tonight. You know, I want a clean, upright, healthy, whole church filled with the power of God. I want it. I believe we're going to have it. They say you can't have it, but I believe we're going to have it. Glory to God, I believe it. I believe the reason that the churches haven't had it is because they haven't lived right. But I believe that our people at Little Bethlehem is going to love God, and I believe they're going to live right. Amen. I believe it. I believe I've got some people here that's going to get down to business with God, and they're going to shape in their lives and live a holy life. I believe it. And God's going to fill their lives with power. I felt some faith tonight. As I prayed for some of these people tonight, I felt some faith. I really did. I felt some faith. I felt God do something tonight. I felt faith in the heart of Sister Grace tonight. As I prayed for her, I felt her sincerely lift up her faith to God and her heart to God. I felt faith in the heart of Sister Cook tonight. As I prayed for her, I felt her lift up her faith. Though I felt her trouble, yet I felt her draw back in a running start for God, as if to say, God, I've done it before and I'll do it again. That's the attitude. That's the right attitude. I did it before, and God, I'll do it again. You can do it. You can do it. That's the right attitude to have. I'll tell you what, when we take that attitude, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'll tell you what, we'll shake the very foundation of this old world. Amen. I believe it. Hallelujah. You've been a good audience tonight. I know you're tired. I know you've been tired. But God's doing something. God's doing something. Folks, if we'll keep on keeping on, after a while we'll see the lights of that city. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul, can we? If you love the Lord, sing it with me. The little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it again, can you? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I felt faith tonight as I prayed for Sister Barbara tonight. I felt faith. If you'll hold on to that, Sister Barbara, walk straight with the Lord. Walk right. You hold on to that, I guarantee you God done the work tonight. I felt faith. I felt faith. Faith will not fail if you will walk in accordance with the laws of God. It will not fail. It will work. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him? Don't you appreciate Him? You appreciate Jesus tonight? Oh, let me tell you, I'm going to close in just a minute, but let me tell you, folks, a lot of people don't believe what Brother Pike's saying. They don't believe that this is that one message that everybody's going to come to. They don't believe it. There's ministers that don't believe it. They don't like it because I say that. But I say that because it is true. It is true. Amen. Isn't that right? The Bible said, when I bring Zion again. Isn't that right? When I bring Zion again, they will see eye to eye. They will walk hand in hand. And they will not break ranks. Hallelujah. Amen. Got to be like that. All right. God is so good. Let's love one another. Love is of God. He that loveth is of God. He that doth not loveth, he's never seen God. For God is love. All right, can you slip your hands up with me now? I love you. I appreciate you so much. Now, I'll be praying for you. I really will, from the bottom of my heart. Brother Pike, don't just pray for you in the prayer line, but I pray for you again and again and again. And I pray for you. I'll be praying for you and your little ones. And I want you to pray for me. I want you to remember me, because I remember you. And let's pray one for another. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up now. I want to pray for you this one more time. And I want to pray for the whole audience. Just close your eyes. Slip your hands up. Now when I pray, folks, I want you to believe with me. See, Jesus said, when you pray, believe. Isn't that what He said? Now, if He had or not known that you could believe, He would not have told you to believe. You know, some folks put faith way out of their reach. They make it a complicated thing when it's not. If Jesus had not known that you could have believed, He would have not told you that. When the man said the little daughter is dead, Jesus said, don't doubt, just have faith, just believe. You say, well, I don't see anything happening, Brother Pike. Don't try to see it. That'll discourage you. Don't try to see it. See, that's not the way to see it. If you look for it through the natural eyes, it'll fail every time. Just look at it through the eyes of understanding, saying, the Word of God said it, I believe it. Decree a thing in your heart, it will come to pass. Say whatever you will. Don't doubt in your heart, and it will come to pass. The Bible said that man will have whatsoever he saith. If he'll say in his heart and don't doubt, Jesus said he'll have whatever he says. Isn't that right? All right, don't doubt now. When you pray, believe. Let's believe tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight I believe. Amen. To the best of my ability, I believe. Father, I ask you to heal the people. And I believe at this moment that you're healing the people. And I believe at this moment that my congregation is going to be healthy. Well, I believe you're going to protect them. I ask you in Jesus' name to watch over them, Father. Help them to live holy. Help them to be clean. Help them to be upright. Father, make little Bethlehem a lighthouse, Lord, that will reach around the world. Father, let the entire world see the little lighthouse of Bethlehem and know that it's a house of bread, oh God, and that a babe has been born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Father, and let that star of Bethlehem shine brighter and brighter until that perfect day. I ask you to do it. Father, stretch forth your hand to heal. Give us a good testimony of faith in Jesus' name tonight. I ask you to heal every person. Meet the needs of every person. Take away the problems of every person according to thy word and will. I ask it in Jesus' name. And let's sing this little chorus together now. How do you believe that he'd done what you ask him? See, when you pray, believe. That's right, you got to believe it. Now you ask him. The Bible said we know he hears us, so then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. That is faith, when we have that confidence. What is faith? It is our confidence that he heareth us and grants unto us that we ask him for. So let's sing this chorus together now. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.